Good afternoon. My name is Michelle Furr. I am the director of Como Park Zoo and Conservatory. And with me today, I have Ann Field, who is chairperson of our board of Como Friends.
Okay, and I will point out to members, we've got a handout from them.
Thank you. It's my pleasure today to talk to you about Como Park Zoo and Conservatory, and also about Como Friends, our fundraising arm. Como Park Zoo and Conservatory has over 2 million visitors every year and is the most visited arts and culture destination in Minnesota. It's a statewide destination, but of those 2 million visitors, more attend Como from outstate Minnesota than actually from the city of St. Paul, 22% versus 16%. Como is a very is attractive to a very diverse audience, racially, economically, and geographically. We are proud to remain one of the free zoos in the country. That is one of our hallmarks for the past 100 years. Statewide, our economic impact on the state of Minnesota is over $20.5 million annually. We're a very efficient operation. We operate on a cost of $3.55 per visitor versus other state destinations, which can cost as much as $14 to $45 per visitor. Through public and private sector coming together, we have managed to provide daily education programs that are offered free of charge. There is a growing body of research that shows that access to non-formal science learning environments, such as zoos and conservatories, closes the achievement gap between low and high income families. And certainly the education, the students that we've served come from across the upper Midwest. 425,000 students from across the upper Midwest come to Como, and we provide them with a variety of programs, especially with our new focus on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and with our focus on Como's mission to inspire the public to value the presence of living things in our daily lives. And that's where Como Friends comes in. Our mission as the nonprofit partner of the Zoo and Conservatory is to inspire community generosity for Como Park Zoo and Conservatory, and to advance it as a destination where people from all walks of life can gather and learn and enjoy the natural world. Como Friends and the Park and Zoo and Conservatory are a successful example of an effective private-public partnership. Together, our partnership has leveraged investment from the public sector through the city of St. Paul and the state of Minnesota, with private support from individuals, corporations, and foundations to serve our ever-growing and ever more diverse audience of visitors. Public investment has rallied support on the private support side for both capital improvements and program services, so the partnership really is working on all levels. Programs funded by the Legacy Amendment have expanded educational opportunities so all Minnesota residents, regardless of income, have access to learning about science and nature. Several programs are so popular with families and school groups that Como ran out of funds, and Como Friends was able to secure private funding to meet the continuing demand. This year, Como Park Zoo and Conservatory is requesting an increased allocation from the Legacy Fund to meet visitor demand. Como has more annual visitors than any other arts and cultural destination in the state of Minnesota, and this grant will allow us to serve this engaged and growing audience. And now Michelle will tell you more about our Legacy Amendment request.
Well, first off, I want to share a little bit about some of the success.
Say your name before you start talking.
Sure. Again, my name is Michelle Furr. I'm the director of Como Park Zoo and Conservatory. And our past success utilizing the legacy funds, I want to give you a kind of a brief overcap of some of the things and accomplishments that we've been able to have. Como received a $200,000 per year allocation for fiscal year 12 and 13, and we were able to do a wide range of projects, including a music series that opened up the conservatory in those winter nights that we're still experiencing now, that have garnered over 600 people. That continues now until the end of March. We also have educational programming called Little Explorers that every Thursday during the school year, we open up our doors from 10 to noon and offer free sensory hands-on experiences for our most youngest visitors. And we also have done some planning for returning the formal gardens to the conservatory. I have a short video that I'd like to show, kind of recapping some of the success we've had over the past 2 years. Remember how to... Thank you. as you can see, we're quite proud of the accomplishments that we've been able to deliver. And a lot of the subtext and the video show some of the measurable outcomes for each of those programs and initiatives that we've been able to accomplish this last biennium. So looking forward, Como Park Student Conservatory has demonstrated to be a good steward of the state funds that we received through this grant. As Ann mentioned, we're a very highly efficient operation with under $3.60 per visitor averaging our cost for operation, and that was not any exception with utilizing these state funds. We've also been able to leverage funds with private donations to extend the spending that we've had with the legacy funds, from adding additional Little Explorer days to scholarships for our Nature's Engineer program and additional interpretive graphics. And that we have successful programs with that we've implemented with strong reach, as some of those numbers demonstrated over those 2 million visitors that we have annually, plus the specific projects and their reach that showed on the video. So for the next biennium, our request is for $1.5 million per year, and those funds would be used to expand educational support so that all Minnesotans, regardless of income, have access to learning about science and nature, and preserving Como as a top Minnesota cultural destination. The zoo has a tradition of over 100 years here in the Twin Cities, and the Marjorie McNeely Conservatory is on the National Register of Historical Places. Como is a welcoming place for everyone with the multiple of demographics that we serve. The funds that we're asking for would be used for another multi-dimension and variety of projects, including the implementation of historic formal gardens in front of the conservatory, as well as adding a children's garden that would be interactive and improving the access. Many of our visitors are multi-generation. We have great grandparents and grandparents that are visiting with their young children, and access to the front door is always a concern. We want to preserve our collections and habitats by improving the interpretive elements, the enrichment opportunities for both the guests and the animals, and interactive features. We want to interweave the arts, culture, and history into everything that we do, including the special exhibits that you saw, our edible garden, and before that, our blooming butterfly exhibit that was funded the first cycle of the legacy funds. These immersive educational experiences will provide enriching experiences for all of our guests, as well as offer our location for local artists. As you saw in the video, we've had a number of photo exhibitions that are connected to nature. Right now we have an insect photo gallery going on. So providing those local opportunities for artists. We also want to expand our music series, offering the venue for additional musicians, as well as for our guests to garner more appreciation for the arts and music. And then our educational opportunities. We want to develop a new on-site residency program where students will be able to immerse themselves for a full week and really utilize the botanical gardens and the zoo as their classroom. We want to develop a teen conservation circle and youth volunteer academy, really developing our next generation of Minnesota conservationists. The skills that they'll learn in these types of programs will make them better leaders with their peers, taking back an interesting set of skills back to their schools and their communities, and continuing the success of our Little Explorers program and Nature's Engineers, the STEM-based programming that we're offering to schools in a variety of workshop sessions, from 1 to 3 sessions, depending on the age of the students. We're already getting requests for fall scholarships for those programs for teachers who are just loving the programs, but we're not awarding those until we have funding for those programs. So all of the projects that you've seen today from Como Park Zoo and Conservatory would not be possible without the arts and cultural heritage funding. The need is great, and there is so much more that we can do. So we are asking for some additional resources to continue what we've already started as a great partnership, as well as for the future. Both Ann and I are available for any questions. I want to thank you for your past support as well as for your time today.
I have a couple of comments. First of all, you guys win hands down on the highest request of an increase from last time. You have multiple factors higher than anyone else who has come to us. And so one of the things I think we'd like to see is we'd like to see some kind of a prioritized list in terms of what you think you would want. And then the other thing that I'm interested in is I know that this combination of public funding being used to leverage private funding and private funding being used to leverage public funding is a very powerful combination. I would kind of like some suggestions about, is there some way we could structure our appropriations so that would get us more of that? So it'd be something you might specifically be able to point to. So those are a couple of, and there are other comments I know from other members. So do you have any?
Yes, for the on the item of the additional request or the increase of the request, our initial request, the last biennium, was $1 million. So from that request, we received the $200,000 per year. So it really is a piece of where that falls within the new request with the additional success that we've had and where we see that. But we can definitely prioritize our request in that way. When you look at the cost per general visitor that we have, right now the legacy is about 9 cents compared to some other cultural destinations that actually report their attendance numbers. It ranges from 65 cents to $1.50 for some of those other places.
Okay. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Chair Kahn. And actually, the chair brought up something that I was going to suggest, that is the importance of prioritization, because we do get all kinds of requests, and that's an important thing to do. I do want to, commend you for the facility that you have, and for the service that you provide for the public. I know that my grandchildren take advantage of it, and but one question I do have: how many Sparkies have there been?
Representative Erdahl, we are on currently Sparky 6 performing at Como, but it's been 56 years of performances, and we always have an understudy.
I must have seen the original Sparky.
Okay. Representative Hasman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To your first point, that they had the greatest increase in their request, I would suggest that must mean this committee has drastically underfunded this particular facility, given the fact that it is the most visited cultural destination with nearly 2 million annual visitors. I suspect not many people who sit at that table can tell us that they have 2 million visitors.
Okay. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and although this doesn't have to do with the funding request, on behalf of the people of northeastern Minnesota that attend the Lake Superior Zoo, we want to and love the Lake Superior Zoo animals. We want to extend our thank you, our sincere thank you, for taking in our seals and Berlin, and we miss them very much. And I'm very saddened that they decided to turn our polar bear Berlin into a cougar and sending her to Kansas City, where she seems to be adapting quite well. But who knows if she'll ever come back to us or you. Just reclining in the southern climes of Kansas City. But we appreciate what you did. And especially, Madam Chair, I think this is very important because they didn't just take the animal in and say, go away now, Duluth, we're going to take care of them. They worked with our zoo attendants, and they kept, we had weekly visits, and they kept everybody on the same page with what kind of care they were being given. And that was really a traumatic thing for those seals and the bear. And we really appreciate it, and we are very hopeful that we will be able to establish a new home for maybe the little baby, if it happens.
Now, I know this is a rhetorical question for the Como Zoo. You are a fully accredited zoo, aren't you?
Yes, sure.
Now, what about the Lake Superior Zoo?
It is.
That's an issue.
They did get their accreditation back.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I could just follow up on the Berlin story now. I don't know if either of you are prepared to tell the committee about the video that you have about Berlin and the bear down in Kansas City.
Well, Chair Kahn and Representative Hausman and Representative Murphy, it was our pleasure to take in the Bears. It just shows the spirit that AZA accredited institutions around the country and the collegiate environment that we have. The polar bear, for those who aren't familiar, Berlin has now have a breeding recommendation, and that's part of the AZA so that we can keep the genetic line clean. So Berlin hopefully will have some offspring that maybe those can come back once Duluth is ready and prepared to have another polar bear. But Berlin is a alpha female, and she is half or even less than half the size of her male counterparts, even when they met Buzz and Neil in St. Paul, as well as Nikita and Kansas City, and she takes charge. And so there is a video that's floating around on YouTube that she's definitely showing who's boss in her new habitat.
That's what smaller females tend to do.
Right.
Okay. Oh, actually, we have a quorum now, and so the minutes are available for adoption. And Representative Green, who is here and strongly looked as if he carefully looked at them, the minutes of the joint meeting of March 6th and the meeting of March 13th. And Representative Green moves for them.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd move the minutes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are adopted. And we'll continue. Are there any further questions? Representative Wilk.
Madam Chair, and this last summer I had an opportunity to go through the zoo, which we often do. We live in East Metro and fairly close. But it was in the fall, and I went through your, I think, edible garden area, and you had a sign up, which I was really happy to see, that had the legacy sign up. So thank you for that. But just briefly, just kind of tell me what legacy did for that edible garden area. Just for example, it's just one small project, but I'm just curious, do we pay for the whole thing, or do we pay for what or something?
Chair Kahn, Representative Lilly, the legacy funds supported for the edible garden about 80% of that to have that there. That is a special exhibit space that without additional resources would basically be an empty area. So that includes the planting of the seeds to the interpretive staff that we have available to 4 gardener talks a day in our busiest times of the year. So we also do some special events around that. Some of the pictures that you saw was tomato plants that we were giving away. We also do recipe cards as well as what people can do in containers. You don't need a large space to have an edible garden, and that's one of the pieces that we're trying to educate, that you can even have a container garden so that you can make fresh tomatoes or salsa at your home.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you.
Okay, we're now getting to the Department of Agriculture and the County Fairs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Greta Gauthier. I'm with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, and I thank you for the opportunity to come before the House Legacy Committee today to talk about the Department of Agriculture's County Fair Arts Access Program. I have with me our program administrator who can give you some detail, and I would also refer you to a handout that is a number of pages and looks like this. It has a lot of detailed information that we're going to go through with you. Just as a little bit of background, for those of you who may not know, although we have 87 counties in Minnesota, we do have 93 county fairs. There are 5 counties that have more than one fair. They are St. Louis, which has 3, and then Cass, Otter Tail, Morrison, and Goodhue all have 2 county fairs. County fairs are a strong tradition in Minnesota, and they grew out of the agricultural and agrarian economy and society that settled this state, and they are still a key cultural event in every county across the state every year for hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. With that, I will just briefly state that in 2011, the department was given $2.8 million for the biennium to do a county fair arts access program. $1.4 million a year, and of that $1.4 million, half was to be distributed equally among the counties, and half was competitive. And so we're going to tell you more about both the Equal Share program and the competitive program. And I have with me Emily Murphy, who administers this program.
Ms. Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and representatives. I'm just going to go over the two programs right away. We have the Equal Share program. Each year, $700,000, it was stipulated in the statute, needed to be divided equally amongst all the county fairs in the state. We had every eligible fair participate in this program. The second part of the program, the statute stipulated that we needed $700,000 each year to go towards a competitive grant program. In this first year of the grant program, we had 74 out of the 93 county fairs participate. Of those 74 applicants, 39 received an award. That's over half. We had $700,000 to give away. We received almost $3 million in requests. Each application for the competitive grant was reviewed by the Minnesota Department of Agriculture and a five-member review panel, outside review panel, consisted of five individuals from different backgrounds ranging from Minnesota history, the arts community, knowledge in construction, and knowledge of county fairs and their operations. So when the Department of Agriculture received these funds, we knew that fairs varied in size. We have Steele County, where 300,000 people attend. We have South St. Louis County, where maybe, or Southwest St. Louis County, where maybe 1,000 people attend. We knew that there was a great range. But for the vast majority, these fairs are governed and operated by dedicated volunteers. They have full-time jobs, they have families, but they really believe in community service, and that's what they do. We also knew that these volunteers had never worked on a grant before, never written one, never managed one. And so it was clear that our job was to make sure we supported the fairs and made sure that they had the resources to succeed and use these funds responsibly. If you look at the third page of the handout, you'll see the requirements that we wrote out for the Equal Share and the competitive grants. We looked at the statute and we looked at the Constitution when we drafted these. So for the Equal Share grant, all funded activities had to directly develop or enhance county fair projects or programs that provided access to the arts, arts education, historical, cultural heritage programming. For the competitive grant, the wording's a little bit different. Funded activities must directly develop or enhance county fair facilities or other projects or programs that provide access to arts, arts education, agricultural, historical, and cultural heritage programming. As everyone in this room knows, dollars coming from this fund can only supplement budgets and not supplant, and that is something that we hit over and over in all the outreach that we did with the fairs. Another example of our effort to provide fairs with resources is the MDA artist database, and that's on the second page of your handout. We knew that these county fairs didn't have a lot of time to research. They hadn't had a lot of funds previously to expand arts and cultural heritage programming, and so we created a space for them where they could just look up artists in Minnesota who were interested in the program, were interested and available to work with fairs. Before we even launched this database, I spoke with several individual artists to see if there was an interest in the community to work with fairs, and if we had a database, if they would voluntarily sign up for it. The answer was always yes, and so we went ahead with it. And once we launched the program, I shared the link with the State Arts Board, all the regional arts councils, Springboard for the Arts, Compass. MRAC actually invited me to speak at an event where I met more artists who were really enthusiastic about this program. I'll just conclude with three projects that I think represent some of what this program offers to the state. We knew there would be statewide impact because every county has a fair, at least one. But Scott County Fair created a project that could travel, and that gives a whole new meaning to statewide impact. They used their competitive funds to build a mobile oral history booth. They renovated a fish house. They installed state-of-the-art recording equipment. You can even burn a CD of your interview right there on the spot. They worked very closely with their county historical society, who had just completed their own five-year project collecting stories from Scott County residents. and they created a manual explaining what an oral history is and the best practices for interviewing. So the goal of this project for Scott County Fair, they want this booth to travel. They have a log to see where it's, what cities it's been to. They want to see how many miles it travels over its lifetime. I've mentioned that there are many differences between fairs, but there are also many similarities. And that means that programs that were created for one fair have the potential to be used at multiple fairs. And so Olmsted County Fair used their Equal Share grant dollars to create this very impressive exhibit on the history of the CCC and the WPA. They had these gorgeous 4x8 panels with texts and pictures. They had enclosed display cases with everything from uniforms that people wore to books that workers were given to improve literacy. And the exhibit was located in the county fair's Flora Hall, which was built by the WPA, so the history was right there. Now, if this exhibit travels, not only is it just a really beautiful, professional exhibit, but many fairgrounds still use the community buildings built by the CCC and the WPA, and that makes the display really relevant to many fairs across the state. The last point I'm going to make is that people visit fairs for a variety of reasons, but they inevitably tour the entire grounds. So fairs have the opportunity to bring arts and cultural heritage program to an audience that might not seek this out on their own. Swift County Fair brought in art instructors from a local nonprofit, the Milan Village Arts School, and those artists held demonstrations during the fair. They had a little corner, they were on a platform, they had speakers so everyone could hear them. They actually had a projector so that a silversmith was doing detailed work, everyone could see that. The fair had never collaborated with this nonprofit before, but when they heard about this grant program and they heard about how they had to use these dollars, this is the group they immediately thought about. After the fair, the Milan Village Arts School reported an increase in interest in their classes, and for next year, they will be visiting two more fairs. So ending on that note, I want to thank you, Madam Chair, and all the committee members for all that you've done to create and maintain the integrity of these funds. Thanks.
And Madam Chair, if I may, just to give you a little more background, we do have a depiction here of the counties and the statewide impact that these County Fair Arts Access grants have had, as well as a listing. This is the competitive grant, because of course the Equal Share grant was shared equally, so every county was impacted. And then in the back, these pages that have a couple different blocks of color, this is our guidance that we prepared for county fair volunteers. And again, most of the county fairs are run by volunteers, to just give them some ideas of, for example, if they wanted to have an artist in residence, what would they think about that might be eligible? A banjo player, a painter? What would be ineligible? Something that they offered the year before. That would be ineligible because it would be supplanting. And then different questions that they could think about or considerations they could have when they're trying to develop their grant request. So we tried to really work with folks, and we think we got some really, really great projects and benefits that frankly nobody anticipated, in that some of these exhibits now will be transferable, and there are other spin-offs that will continue. So, Madam Chair, with that, we'd be happy to take any questions. Oh, excuse me, Madam Chair, we have two testifiers. I'm sorry.
Sure.
We have two testifiers.
Representative Tolkelson, do you want to go now or do you want to wait till they finish? Okay. Yes. Okay, please state your name and where you're from before
you
start.
Good afternoon. Gail Johnson from Hennepin County. I'm on the board of directors for Hennepin County. I also serve as a board of directors for the Minnesota Federation of County Fairs, District 5. I'd like to start by introducing you to Hennepin County. The Hennepin County Fair is very unique in that we do not have our own grounds. We do not have permanent buildings of any kind. We have to rent the property that we use, which is the Corcoran Lion Park, and we rent tables, chairs, tents, and even an electrician to lay lines for our fair. Because of this, because we do not have our own property, it is very difficult for us to generate extra rent income through rental of buildings, for community service or community projects or to have winter storage. So during the 3.5 days of our fair, we must generate enough revenue to pay for our fair and pay for the upcoming fair. I'd like to give you a little information on the legacy funds that we used last year for the Equal Share grant. We bought quilt racks to display exhibits that people brought in, quilts, afghans, and various blankets that they have exhibited. We bought easel for the table for displaying artwork, photos, and things like that. And these were purchased at local art supply stores. We had quilting demonstrations by a local organization along with Tandy Leather, which is a local leather company in our community. And children were able to create their own bracelet by stamping leather patterns on it, and they were very excited to have that opportunity. Fairgoers enjoyed music from original songwriter. They also enjoyed the bluegrass band. In the year 2013, our upcoming fair, we hope to buy more shelves and display areas, signage to designate different areas, provide the entertainment of Cloggers, a local group of Hennepin County, Old Time String Performance, Storyteller, another local performer, Lumberjack Show, Iron Will Dog Sled, demonstrations by a potter and a blacksmith. The University of Minnesota is also attending our fair by bringing in a textile center where they give the children the opportunity to do hands-on activities. We have demonstrations with knitting and quilting. Without the legacy funding, the Hennepin County Fair would not be able to provide our fairgoers with these additional historical and cultural and educational activities. Without the funding of purchases of easels, display shelves, we were not able to display our exhibits to their fullest potential. Through the legacy grant, Fair has been able to provide visitors with these opportunities. The expense to sponsor County Fair has increased, and without the funds, we would not be able to provide the extras. The impact on the community is that we utilize the resources we have within our community. About 85% of our legacy funding is spent locally at stores and shops. We have local entertainment and organizations that come in and provide demonstrations and entertainment for our fairgoers. We also use our local hotels for booking rooms. We provide our fairgoers with enriched programs that they may not expect to see at a fair. They may attend the fair for one specific reason, and around the corner, they might find they learn how to knit, maybe watch a demonstration on blacksmith, or maybe listen to a bluegrass band that they didn't expect. We hope the unexpected would become the expected in the future with results of the arts, historical, and cultural opportunities at our county fair. I would like to conclude by inviting each and every one of you to attend your county fair in your area or attend any county fair in the state of Minnesota. You will see how the legacy funding has enriched our county fairs by providing our visitors with historical, artistic, and cultural rich programs and entertainments. I would like to conclude by thanking you for supporting the county fairs of the legacy funding and ask for your continued support. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Steve Holland. I hail from Pine County, Minnesota. I happen to be a Pine County Commissioner, and Madam Chair, I bring you greetings from an old colleague of yours, Doug Carlson.
I just got a letter from him. Reminded us of great things we did together.
And so. We had a county board meeting today. As you know, Doug is a member of our county board now. Yeah. And he sends his greetings along. And I want to just paraphrase from that letter. He said, I visited with length with members of the fair board because I made them sit down and listen to us. But and I've attended the Pine County Fair, and I have seen the wonderful things that the legacy funding has done to improve the exposure of our local artisans to the community and have witnessed the arts come alive to the citizens of Pine County. You know, sometimes things happen that probably should have happened anyway, but we need a spark. And the spark for our county fair to get together with our local art center and our heritage players, which is a local theaters group, was this legacy funding. Because we had an opportunity, and we weren't sure what we could really do to maximize the effect of it. So we sat down with our local Pine Center for the Arts and our heritage players and crafted a plan where we could build a venue that would allow our local artisans to display their crafts. And that's everything from being able to play the banjo to demonstrate their ability to paint better than anybody in East Central Minnesota, to spinning and weaving and a wide variety of music. We have an extraordinary amount of talent in East Central Minnesota, and sometimes that talent never gets a chance to play outside of the high school band. We have a great music program in our schools in Pine County, and with this great venue we have now, we have an opportunity for those students to play beyond their church or the school. And we have welcomed them. And the biggest, we had performances go on in this new band shell that was created from 10 in the morning till 11 at night. And those people simply would not have had the opportunity to do that had we not had a place for them to do their craft. We believe we need some skin in the game ourselves, so we put a self-imposed match on ourselves that said, if we can't come up with half the money, we're not going to take any state money. And so we took $36,000 and turned it into $72,000. That's pretty ambitious for a small community. And we did that in one summer. We have some people that really believe in what we were doing, and they stepped up with their checkbooks and said, if you start that project, here's a check. And so we took a little bit of a gamble. We figured we could do it, and we did it. And it is the coolest band shell in East Central Minnesota, I think in the whole state. I'm a little biased, but we have filled the thing. We have plans to fill it again for 5 days of the fair, plus the communities of East Central Minnesota now have plans to do some outdoor theater work in there and do some things similar to Art in the Park in that venue. So it's there. If you build it, they will come. We had no idea how to build a band shell. I'm not kidding you. But there are some people that live in the community that work in this area down here in the theater groups. They provided the input. They told the architect, which put those plans into action. They brought it to us, and we said, you know what we said? It looks like a calf shed. We want it to look like a band shell. So one of our members, who is a construction manager for a major company here, went back and took his little piece of the plywood and built what he thought was what we wanted, and we brought it back, and yes, that is what we want. And they drew it up, and we have it today. So thank you for listening to me and to our organization. We believe this is a wonderful program to get. You know, we have 35,000 or 30,000 people that live in Pine County. We have more than 35,000 that come to our fair. So we have more people come to our fair that live than live in our county. And those people are not going to travel, for the most part, to even some outdoor concert at the casino. Their art, education, and cultural experiences happen at the fair. So thank you.
You know, one of the things we might like is we might like to see the communications that you sent out to raise the, you know, to raise matching funds. I think that might be something that we'd like to see. So,
Madam Chair, in a small town, I can understand that. In a small town, our communications are usually over lunch. We didn't have to do a lot of letter writing campaigning. We got the people together that we knew were interested and said, who's in? And some of the people that were in went and talked to their friends and said, you know, if I throw in a couple grand, will you throw in a couple grand? And that's how it happened. That we didn't have to do a lot of work. Thank you.
Okay. Questions? Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd like to have the department come back to the testifiers table. First, Madam Chair, I'd like to congratulate the department for tackling a brand new program that has never been tried before, and from all appearances, at least from my perspective, doing a very good job of reaching out all across the state of Minnesota with a program that impacts what I think is a very important part of our heritage here in the state of Minnesota and helping it to be revitalized and survive into the future. I guess my question for the department today is how the program was administered and how those costs were incurred by the department and how much was spent administering the program.
Madam Chair, Representative Torkelson, I don't have the exact figure, but I think it's about...
Just always say your name before you...
Oh, Emily Murphy, sorry. Yeah. I think about $60,000 went into the administration. That included salary, also travel expenses to visit all the fairs, and then also any materials that we had to create, including the website.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So you did visit all the fairs in the state of Minnesota?
Not all 93. I did manage to visit 28 this summer. I think I visited 11 last summer. And then we made 31 monitoring calls throughout to make sure that the fairs were on track, and if they had any questions, we could answer them before the project went too far.
Madam Chair.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Greta Gothier, Department of Ag. And just to add, Representative Torkelson, we have one FTE working on this program, and it's Emily.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, congratulations on running a very lean but effective program. Did you have a notice a difference in applications from the first year to the second year?
Madam Chair, Representative, we definitely saw a change. Now that the fairs in the first year were able to get things like a speaker or a stage, now they're focusing on the programming so that they can bring new music, you know, music where they can have more than five people on the stage without worrying they're going to fall through. Also, just the quality of the projects have increased. For the first year, no one, you know, there was a lot of education as to what could be funded and couldn't. And so while now fairs are more comfortable with it and they're able to get, you know, right in the zone of where we want this money to go.
And Madam Chair and Representative Torkelson, in addition, once we got the database of artists who and performers who were willing to travel, we're also seeing that get put to good use as well.
I really like the idea that we would, the concept of a traveling exhibit, an exhibit that's done in one fair and then goes to simultaneous places, similar places in other fairs. That seems like a really effective use of the funding.
Madam Chair, that was an unexpected spin-off that bonus yeah. that we thought was a really great thing, too. We'd like love to see more of it.
So are you doing anything about publicizing the availability of that? Do you have a newsletter or anything like that? Anything that would facilitate that?
Sure, Madam Chair. In regards to the fairs are pretty much in charge of their own publicity of their projects. When I talked about the Scott County Fair and their mobile history yep. booth, they did not advertise it yet, but they have had multiple groups ask if they can use it, and they even got a call from someone from Georgia who wants to create their own. So, word does get out.
Okay. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just one more question. How did you assure the accountability that these funds were properly spent?
Madam Chair, Representative, we had every fair complete a closeout evaluation and a financial reconciliation form. So for the equal share, on the website, we had a particular form that they each had to submit to us before they got their last 10% of their funds. For the competitive grant program, we had more of a narrative, more information that we asked from them, and they had to submit all the copies of their receipts so that we could itemize everything that went.
When you did this, did you find any that were, even when you listed the unacceptable projects, did you find any that you had to reprimand or ask for better performance?
Madam Chair, we did find some where maybe we had allowed them to buy display cases, and then they also painted the walls in that area. And we've told them that these contracts are legally binding and only what is in the contract is allowed. However, if they notify us ahead of time, we can work with them so that they can use their full dollars.
Okay. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first, you ladies stay there, but Mr. Hallin, I have heard rumors that in Pine County there was a ban shell being used as a calf shelter for much of the year. I was wondering if that was true.
That is absolutely not true.
Oh, okay. just making sure. Ms. Murphy, did you find then that the reporting criteria, both from the counties to you and from you, to the legacy site, were adequate? Were they overly burdensome? Were you able to do what needed to be done?
Madam Chair, Representative, it was difficult for the fairs, I think, for the majority of them to come up with measurable objectives and then have the staffing. But for this second round, I have noticed that they are allocating, maybe a few hundred dollars so that they can have someone count the attendance or compile all the surveys and get a report out to us.
Madam Chair? The reporting that you had to do to us, was that...
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, we had to post all of our projects on the Legacy LCC website. So we had to do a description of it, the measurable objectives, how much, any matching dollars, et cetera.
Okay. Madam Chair?
Okay.
Well, thank you, and I would like to... Oh, no. Representative Torkelson has left.
Oh.
I stay when he asks questions.
But I was going to have his good taste.
I was just going to comment that the 60,000 of 2.8 million is about 2%, which is a good administrative cost level that we appreciate. And I'll also compliment you on not increasing your request. As Chair Kahn has commented, we get a lot of increases, and you're one of the few that's actually requesting, I believe, the same amount. Another thing I would like to comment on your impartiality and not being unduly influenced by anyone giving the, I assume by anyone because of personal experience. I notice here that the Representative Ward's County received competitive grant funding, and he has the bill this year. I think Representative Torkelson had the bill last year, and Brown County got some. But, the chair of the committee last year, whose county asked for a competitive grant funding, didn't get anything. So I compliment you on your wisdom and not being unduly influenced by anyone or any organization. But, of course, John Ward gets all the money from this committee anyway.
Okay. Greta, you just got
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Erdahl, you make a point that there were counties that wanted to participate but did not receive a grant. And we have given them feedback on their proposals and try to work with them on how they can become better. But alas, we were not able to fund everything.
Were there any?
You're forgiven.
Well, these were over 2 years. Were there counties that received grants in both years, or did that?
Madam Chair, you're speaking of the competitive grants because the equal share grants go to everybody.
But the only competitive grants are in 2012. Is that what?
Madam Chair, the total appropriation was $2.8 million, $1.4 a year, and of that $1.4, half was for equal share, half was for competitive. So every fair got an equal share grant each year of the biennium, and then the competitive grants were above and beyond that, which fairs had to apply for. And then they were graded by the outside group that Emily discussed, as well as reviewed by the department.
Okay, and was there any sense that someone who had gotten one once should or shouldn't get one the next time?
Madam Chair, we're still going through the review process and notifying all the awardees. So I don't have the number, but some fairs did receive competitive awards both years. However, we had set a limit. No fair was allowed to get more than $75,000 in the biennium, and I don't believe any fair was close to that.
Madam Chair, the average competitive grant in the if you look on the page from 2012, and as Emily said, we're still in fiscal 13, so we're still in the process of that, was about $16,000 on the competitive.
Okay, Representative Ward.
Madam Chair, and I was going to be nice and just say that my Crow Wing County board members, fair board members, did relate to me that the importance of this and what they were able to do, both with some of the infrastructure and programming at the county fairs. And so it was wonderful and much appreciated. And you know, and that's one of the reasons I decided to carry the bill. And I think it does in fact enhance. You know, we have Crow Wing County has one of the largest county fairs in the state of Minnesota, for our captive population, and you know, they do a wonderful job. But anything that any fair can do to expand their program and build up their infrastructure to make it more appealing and promote attendance is much needed. And so, you know, thank you for the past and the future of this. And I think it's, as Representative Erdahl suggested, it's a very, very good use of our money. And I'm assuming that maybe Representative Erdahl's county probably didn't get it because, you know, books. Was there an offer of selling books in their county?
Madam Chair, we don't disclose the nature of the projects that were rejected.
Okay. Representative Haslam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed that the earlier testifier from Hennepin County, that Hennepin County applied but did not receive the competitive grant. So what she was speaking to was just the equal share. And I'm wondering, relative to that equal share, and it's possibly the two people at the table are still the people to answer it. But it has to do with how that equal share is determined. Is it based on the size of the fair, the attendance numbers?
Equal.
I mean, just knowing Hennepin County is probably the most populated county, I don't know how their county fair numbers, but what is an equal share?
Madam Chair and Representative Hausman, it was divided equally between the $700,000 for each year, which statute said had to go for the equal share grant, was divided equally between the 93 eligible county fairs.
So if there was a population of,
didn't matter.
I mean, attendance of 100 or 10,000, they would receive the same amount. And then, now, is St. Louis County divided into three because they have three fairs? Are they the only?
Madam Chair and Representative Hausman, actually there are five counties that have more than one county fair. And they are, St. Louis is the only one with three county fairs. And then the other four that have two each are Cass County, Otter Tail, Morrison, and Goodhue. Each have two county fairs. And I'm sure, Madam Chair, there's some history behind each one of those as to why there's multiples.
And, Madam Chair, does the equal share go to a fair or a county?
Madam Chair and Representative Hausman, it goes to a fair.
Oh, actually, Madam Chair, one more. When they talked about painting walls, and I think somebody asked, how do you follow up? And your response was, if they contact us, we will work with them. But what does that mean? If they work with you, then painting walls would be okay?
Madam Chair, and Representative Houseman, I think in that particular incident, we probably would have tried to advise them ahead of time that that would probably not be something that they should be doing with the legacy dollars. However, if there was other things that they needed to do, or, you know, we would work with them to try to find ways that would be acceptable and permissible projects under the statute. In other words, Madam Chair, had they let us know they were going to do painting, we probably would have said, well, maybe you should do something else. But let me emphasize, Madam Chair, that there were maybe two or three like that out of, 93 equal share grants each year and 70-odd competitive grants in the first year. So we think that there's a learning curve here, and that, again, the county fairs are overseen almost entirely, majority of them, by volunteers. So we are working as best we can to help people understand the parameters of the program.
Well, I'm certainly glad you didn't come down hard on them afterwards, but I hope it would be entirely different if someone did it again.
Madam Chair, we didn't come down hard on them afterwards. No. Okay. We try to work with folks.
Right. Representative Murphy.
Thank you. Ms. Murphy, you attended all these county fairs. Tell me the three fairs that had the best food.
Madam Chair and Representative, I am speechless.
She couldn't, Madam Chair, she couldn't possibly, they were all wonderful. Each in their own way.
Did they all have the same food?
They did not.
What sticks out in your mind? Just tell me three fair foods that you enjoyed at some fair, and you don't even have to tell me the name of the fair.
Yes.
I'll follow you afterwards.
Let's see, the funnel cakes, corn dogs, and I like the taco in the bag.
The taco in the
bag. Like, kind of embarrassing to explain, but it's a Doritos bag that they mush up all the chips and then they put in a meat and some sauce.
Oh, I see, like a salad.
I found that on a trip once. I don't remember if it was at a fair or a street fair or something like that, and brought it home and tried to serve it for supper. did not receive great support. So.
Madam Chair, I do know that the commissioner intends for us to, should the legislature determine that this should continue, we would like to visit all of the county fairs eventually, for sure.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I have one question, actually, too. In terms of the fact that this is arts, culture, and history, did you try and involve the regional arts boards in any of these things in trying to get some approval? Because I did get criticism from some of the people who were saying that more of the funding of this section should go to arts. And so the question is, did the regional arts boards get involved in this, and could they be more involved?
Madam Chair, with the artist database, I did let everybody know about the program so that their artists could join it. I actually had a few email exchanges with executive directors, just letting them know, and those were pretty positive. It did focus mostly on how the artists could be, you know, hired and involved with affairs.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hausman.
Madam Chair, I am most, and I don't know, this is maybe more committee, or unless they have more to say, I am sort of confused about this equal share thing. That it was determined at some point, and I don't know whether by the legislative committee or by the department.
Oh, Representative Ertl.
To give everyone the same amount, but that presumes that all 90-some fairs actually have a desire to have an art a program, and I'm just wondering if that should be, that whole idea of the equal share should be rethought. We're sort of imposing our will on these county fairs by saying, we're going to give you money, and now you've got to generate an art project that meets our specifications.
Madam Chair, just to clarify that the equal share and competitive was in the rider language that was passed in 2011, so it was not the department's idea. But we did, the counties did, were able to find uses for all of that equal share money.
I would imagine so.
Madam Chair.
I would imagine so.
Representative Erdl.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, as indicated in the rider language, we had last year $700,000 each year is available for distribution equal amounts to each of the county fairs, and then $700,000 each year is available for competitive grants. So we did specify which we're with. It's kind of like, the parks and trails. You know, there are some that feel that it should all be done in equal amounts between three different groups. I won't really get into that.
Okay. Thank you.
I find that equal share.
Okay. Okay. We now have the Civic Education Coalition. We have Jennifer Bloom and Tracy Warnberg. Warnberg Lynn. Civic. Tracy, are they here?
Can you turn up the heat for Representative Wills?
What? Okay, they don't. What? Yeah. We'll see if we just. I know it came through the Humanities Council. I don't know if Dr. O'Fallon, do you want to say anything about it or any comments about it? You're not putting you on the spot. And we'll contact them again and ask them if they want to come tomorrow briefly. I think all of us, none of us mind getting out a few minutes early.
Madam Chair and members, I'm David O'Fallon. I'm the president of the Minnesota Humanities Center. We worked with the Civics Coalition for several years and would continue to work with them. The legislation in the last session specifically said to give competitive grants for civics education, and we did that. So we created an independent review panel and established criteria and opened the door for a wider variety of people to apply to conduct civics education programs with young people across the state. We were especially interested in not limiting the funding to just three organizations, but to see who else might have a good program. One example, for example, that showed up was the CLUES, which is, as some of you know, the largest service organization for the fastest growing population in the state of Minnesota, the Chicano Latino. We'd been concerned reviewing some of the previous grants that kids of color and some of the emerging populations perhaps weren't being reached in the depth that one might have thought. So we had something like over $806,000 worth of applications for the $250,000 in civics education grants.
Did you give it all to one group? Or
No.
Specific amount, and you gave it to
No, it was a competitive group? Grants process, and I actually brought a small report with me, which I'm happy. I didn't bring enough copies for everybody, but I'm happy to leave it with the...
Okay, we'll distribute it.
Right. So we did a RFP process and an independent review panel, and the reviewers, for example, included Harry Boyd, who actually advises the White House and President Obama on civics education. It included Jennifer Lopez, who, sorry, not Jennifer Lopez, that would have been interesting, but my imagination ran away with me for a moment. I'm so sorry on that. Jennifer Godinez, who's the Associate Director of Minnesota Minority Education Partnership. Tim Hoagland, who's known as Mr. History Day Minnesota. I'll wait for the committee members to recover from the split. And Sarah Evans, who's the Regents Professor, Distinguished McKnight Professor at the University of Minnesota. They were the independent review panel, so we had about 15 applications, and a couple people withdrew because they weren't ready yet for a civics education program. But we made 9 awards. Some of these are planning awards across the state of Minnesota. To reach people that weren't reached before. So again, the coalition got a very sizable award, and we're happy to continue to work with them, and other people got awards as well. So maybe I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay. Representative Ertle, did you have...
Thank you, Madam Chair and Dr. O'Fallon. Madam Chair and Dr. O'Fallon. I can be clear. How many awards did you give? You mentioned nine, and then was that the total amount?
Yes.
Thank you. And how many? What is the range between lowest amount given, highest amount?
Mm-hmm. This time we instituted a practice that wasn't, I'm sorry, Madam Chair and Representative Erdahl, we were able to give some smaller grants that we said were planning grants for organizations that were very concerned about new immigrant populations, for example, and existing historical populations really becoming stronger citizens and involved with the democratic process. So some of the planning grants were just $10,000. The largest single grant was $125,000 to, in fact, the Minnesota Civic Education Coalition. So they did receive a very substantial $125,000. Others received amounts $50,000, $35,000, $10,000, and so forth. So that was the range.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Heck, no, I forgot. What was I going to ask you? Later.
We'll go to Murphy and see.
I'll have it by the time you come back.
Okay. Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Civic Coalition, is that's youth in government and the League of Women's Voters?
It's Kids Voting Minnesota, Youth in Government, and Learning Law and Democracy. Those are the three together.
Representative Erdahl.
And that reaches about how many young people?
You know, I'm honestly not sure if you... I'm sorry, Madam Chair and Representative Murphy. I'm not sure exactly how many hundreds of kids they reach, but it's a lot. I don't have the number in front of me right now. Right. But if I could respond one further, one of the grants we made, for example, this time, was to the Minnesota Campus Compact, which reaches over 40 colleges and universities across the state of Minnesota. So.
Okay. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I apologize for my Jennifer Lopez moment that I was having there. But Dr. Fallon, the reporting.
Back, if you want to say what you wanted to say to him.
No, I already said it. Okay. He walked out.
Okay.
The reporting requirements, the criteria that we had, how do they work for you in terms of getting information back from the grantees and also reporting back to us?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl, as some of you have heard me say before in front of this committee, we look at each of these grants as really an involvement with the center and the project that we make the grant to. So we work very closely and on, for example, the evaluation of impact and the appropriateness of the budget and the capacity of the organization to carry it out. And, well, it took some time and effort to collect information, work on evaluation, and report back. We considered it part of the role of the center, so we're happy to post the results, both financial and impact results.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Oh, we can't miss this historic occasion of the birthday of Andy Pomeroy, which is today. So we'll just acknowledge that, and then we'll adjourn. We won't sing happy birthday to you. We don't have orchestral accompaniment, so. Yeah, right. We should have known in advance. We would have. We could have.
And
I forgot to ask the, and then Jean left to cry. If we could snag at least Phyllis and her CA and Leon, everybody just asking the question about.
Apparently, quite the artist too.
Fish Creek, and then the two blocks that just noted were. Oh, that were.
Yeah, that are on.
Oh, then maybe we're not ready yet.
Well, I mean, I have that spreadsheet upstairs. If you want to pop up in the office or something.
He was just mad.
I just thought we needed to clarify.
We wrapped up early. We got time.
Yeah.
Up, so.
But see if Phyllis and Leon and the CA.
Yeah, I think I want to do it on. Yeah. Tell them to.
Yeah. Or Phyllis. Okay.
So. I appreciate it. We wrapped up earlier. We got equal pay.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's your building that's related to this.
Yes.